and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. My co-host today is Norman Nakanishi, former University of Hawaii football chaplain, pastor of one of Hawaii's fastest-growing churches, respected and highly sought as an inspirational communicator. This is part of a special series we're calling Leadership Moments. What happens when the balance of ambition, effort, and focus are offset? How about when success becomes more than a normal occurrence? It's expected, maybe even taken for granted. This is the challenge of leaders. And if by some reason you feel that, well, this just doesn't apply to you, wait, it does. The things shared today by our guest is sure to touch you in a way perhaps deeper than you expect. We pause here for a moment, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, just to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is to lead you to Jesus Christ, for you to know that whatever challenge you might be facing today, that Christ loves you and knows you, and his arms are stretched wide open for you. He died on the cross for our sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today calls you to himself. If you are already a Christ follower, well, it's our hope that you will be built up, strengthened like never before. Artie Wilson is a realtor and the owner of Artie Wilson and Associates. His success in real estate is preceded by a legendary career as an athlete. He was a member of the University of Hawaii's Fabulous Five, the only time in UH history where the basketball team was ever a serious contender for the national title. He also played baseball for UH. Artie has coached NCAA basketball summer leagues for more than 20 years. He's a basketball analyst and radio personality for ESPN Honolulu. Artie, welcome to our show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up basically in Seattle, Washington, in Portland, Oregon. My dad traveled around because he played professional baseball and settled in Portland, and that's basically where I grew up, in Portland.
Arthur Lee Wilson.
Yes.
Birmingham Black Barons.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like growing up in Oregon, and then a father who's a legendary in baseball? I mean, I'm thinking among the names mentioned, among the names with the likes of Ted Williams and Jackie Robinson and mentoring a young Willie Mays. What was it like?
Well, my dad was probably the most humble man that I know. So, you know, he never talked about himself. He never talked about, you know, his success as an athlete or a baseball player. He was just my father. But he showed me the quiet, confident way of performing in athletics. So as a young boy, I can remember being in Little League, playing for my first Little League team. And, you know, my dad would be down the right field line. I could look at him and he would, you know, just give me kind of a look like, okay, you go ahead and do your job.
Hmm.
Never a lot of pressure, never overly excited. He didn't yell. He didn't scream. He was mellow, almost to the point where you almost could barely hear him. He was so quiet with the way he approached things. I didn't get those genes. I'm a little more of a yeller, but
a little more vocal,
a lot more vocal. But my dad was always mellow and was probably the greatest role model and example of a successful athletic father that you could have.
You know, I think about many a young boy across America on Saturdays and not now even, you know, on Sundays after their games. They have a long ride home with dad. Did you have long rides home?
Oh, yeah. We had long rides homes. And whether we would win or lose, my dad's demeanor never changed. Okay. It was always, he came from the positive more than the negative. I don't ever remember my dad criticizing me or critiquing me in a negative way. It was always, you know, this is how you do it, and you just keep working at it. It was always from a positive. And it's kind of the way I've tried to coach and to work with young people is, you know, I'm hard on them, and I demand a lot, but it's from a positive, and it's looking them in their eyes, and they look at me in my eyes, and we believing that we can get this thing done. And that's kind of the way my dad, he started that with me from a very young age, and I grew up with that concept.
You know, Norman, we look at the fruit born in Artie Wilson and the legacy of his father. We're talking leadership 101, 201, 301 in the car. When I talk about a long ride home, I'm thinking kids are they're wishing they could jump out, you know, or get out of it. But the demeanor, consistent, not changing. How would you say, as your father's legacy has impacted your coaching, how has it affected your success in life and in business?
Well, my dad was extremely successful as a baseball player. But he was probably more successful as a human being, because everybody that I've ever talked with that spoke about my father raved about him. They lit up when they talked about Artie Wilson. Even at the very end when we had his funeral, when he passed away in 2010, it was a celebration of life like you wouldn't believe. And old baseball players would tell stories that pitchers would never throw at Artie. They would throw close to him, but they respected him too much to throw at him. And whether you were on his team or you played against him, you played with admiration for him as a man and as a person. So he was the role model and the example that I aspired to be like in many, many ways as a young boy. I mean, my dad taught me how to put pants on in a locker room. You know, how you hold the pants and you drop one leg and you step in it and then you drop the next leg. I mean, I still do that to this very day. And it's these small things that it's kind of, I laugh about it when I think about it, because he was teaching me those things about being in a locker room or a clubhouse, because the floors weren't always the cleanest and you didn't want to get the edge of your pants dirty when you stepped into your pants. I mean, it's little things like that. There were always little lessons that Dad taught me that now that I look back on it, I realize he laid a tremendous foundation.
A foundation laid for a legacy to be lived out that exists to this very day. The many lives that Artie Wilson, our featured guest today, is touching and continues to touch, whether it's in the realm of athletics, whether it's as a sports analyst on television and on the radio, and as a coach, as a business leader. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we're going to get deeper. You know, sometimes in life, we need to go a little further, get a little bit deeper, find out a little bit more, learn, grow a little bit more. And it's as we progress in that way, we discover, sometimes surprisingly, certain elements in life we didn't know exist, but oh, how precious they are. As you listen to him today, there are certain things that the Lord will reveal to you special just for you at this very time in your life. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Artie Wilson.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life, becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call, so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Do you like movies? A movie has just come out. In fact, it's a blockbuster hit. It's touching the lives of many people because it goes deeper and it's ingrained in a certain part of American history, a part of American history that has been very, very contentional, to say the least. I mean, it's literally changed the very face of America, that season or that period of American history. But it speaks about athletes. In fact, I have an athlete today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Norman Nakanishi and our featured guest today, Artie Wilson. If you're tuning in right now, gosh, you've got to get the program in its entirety. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get the podcast for free. Artie just shared some incredible things about his dad early on and the influence on his life. But hey, we're just getting started. I'm glad you're with us. To find out more about our program, other resources, thegoodlifehawaii.com.
You know, Danny, one of the most monumental movies of the year is 42. And I want to say to our listening audience, you cannot go to heaven unless you see that movie. It's about Jackie Robinson. He broke the color barrier in professional baseball. But more than that, it was a statement that helped change our country. And Artie, your father, the legendary Arthur Wilson, played with him. Talk to us about that. What a riveting story.
Well, when I went to see the movie, there was one scene in the movie where Branch Rickey was making the decision that he was going to try and find the right black baseball player to bring to the Dodger organization to integrate baseball. And they had a list of players, and they had, you know, little dossiers on players. And I am absolutely positive that my dad was one of the players that they looked at and saw his credentials and his abilities, and for whatever reason chose not to go with my dad, but instead went with Jackie Robinson to be the guy to integrate baseball. And many guys have told me as I grew up that, oh, comparing your dad and Jackie, your dad was far better as a baseball player than Jackie, but Jackie was the right guy to integrate baseball. He had gone to UCLA, he had served in the military, and his temperament might have been the right temperament to be able to withstand some of the things that he had to withstand in order to integrate baseball. That being said, my dad's temperament was probably as good, if not better, than Jackie's, because he was so mellow, but he didn't have the pedigree. He didn't go to college. He hadn't served in the Army. So he maybe wouldn't have been as well received by the populace as Jackie was.
And he played on the All-Star team. I remember that. And he was the shortstop. Jackie was at second base. Talk to us, as a radio audience and listeners, the significance of that.
Well, Jackie was a great baseball player. He played football as well. But I haven't met anyone who knew about my dad and Jackie back in the day that wouldn't tell you that my dad was the better baseball player, the better shortstop. My dad, Dr. Leighton Reville, who's a historian of baseball, has said was probably one of the premier baseball players of all time that very few people know about because of the racial barriers and the color barriers back in the day.
So anyway, as you share that, Artie, we're talking about the movie. What part of the movie really, really stood out to you?
Well, there were two or three parts that stood out to me. When Pee Wee Reese went over and put his arm around Jackie during one sequence during the game where fans were riding Jackie pretty hard, and Pee Wee just basically said, "This is my brother, this is my friend." He put his arm around him. I thought that was huge. The same thing happened with my father at one point, and Billy Martin, the former New York Yankees manager, and he went and did the very same thing to my dad. And in fact, Billy Martin told the organization that he would be his roommate and be Artie Wilson's roommate because my dad was the only black on the Oakland team at that time. So that brought, you know, me close to home in seeing that. When Jackie got on the train, boarding the train, and threw the baseball to the little black boy, and the boy caught the ball and was all fascinated by it, I saw that as him passing the torch and saying, "Look, I'm going to do this for you." And that young man apparently ended up being a Major League Baseball player. And then lastly, probably when Branch Rickey in the tunnel, when Jackie had experienced probably one of the worst on-field experiences of his life, talked with him, consoled him, and put his arm around him, that was a real human part. That was a real emotional part for me that said, this man cared about Jackie more than just to be called the first guy who brought a black player into an organization. He actually cared about Jackie as a man, as a human being.
I mean, there's such a unique connection for you, your dad, and the movie. Your father and mother also left you with a spiritual foundation in life. Share with us about what you experienced growing up.
Well, I grew up in the Pentecostal church, Williams Temple Pentecostal Church, Northeast Hancock Street. I remember it well. Pastor Williams was our first pastor, then Pastor Rand. My grandmother was a missionary. My mom was a missionary. My entire life, I can tell you, every time my dad went to bed, he got on his knees and he prayed. And I always remember, it didn't matter. I mean, he would pray. And sometimes I think he would pray and go to sleep on his knees and then get up and get in bed. But I remember as a little boy noticing that, and it was just the way it was. So I had a tremendous spiritual base covering from my mom, my grandmother, my parents, missionaries, people in my church. Very, very strong influence on my life as a young boy. Very strong.
So there you are, growing up in the Pacific Northwest,
mm-hmm.
With a special upbringing, that unique lineage.
Right.
Then you come to Hawaii. How did that happen?
Well, I came to Hawaii. We won the state championship in Oregon the year before we came to Hawaii. The next year, we were the defending state champs of Oregon, and we had been invited to a public school tournament in Honolulu, and we were playing against Kalani, Farrington, and Radford. And we were, I remember June was on the team at that time. Coach Jones was on the team, and we had a number of guys, but I was the returning starter, the only one from the previous year that won the state championship. Everyone else had graduated. So we were a younger team, with the exception of me being the old guy on the team. We came to Hawaii, and we played three games. And I remember sitting with June going, man, this is the most unbelievable place in the world, because we left Portland. It was 40, 45 degrees and raining. Hadn't seen the sun in a month. And we came here, and it was 80 degrees and sunny, and everybody looked healthy, and it was just an incredible experience for a 17-year-old to come here and see this.
And so what happened?
And then Bruce O'Neill started recruiting me, and
okay.
I had scholarship offers to play baseball, and I had scholarship offers to play basketball, and I mean, my mom was wanting me to go to Oregon and or Memphis State, and my dad wanted me to play whatever I wanted to play, and I signed the PAC 8 letter of intent to University of Oregon, and then that next 2 days later, Bruce O'Neill came to Portland, and I signed the national to Hawaii after he showed me the fact that they had Bob Nash coming in here and a few other guys that I had heard about, and I thought, man, go back to Hawaii, play with some good guys, and live there where the sun was shining in 75 in December. That's not a hard decision.
Sometimes we have these, it's like a kind of a sense, an impression that something great will happen. You talk about Bob Nash, and now we know, looking back, epic,
yes.
Fabulous Five. What sense did you have? When did you begin to feel like we really have something special going on here with this team?
It really started when we all got together, when you know, and it wasn't, the transition for me was not easy the first, say, 6 weeks. I remember coming over, and, you know, I was 17 when I first arrived, and, you know, I had not been away from home for more than a week or two playing sports, and I got off the airplane, and Bruce O'Neill picked us up and dropped us off at the athletic dorm, and I thought, okay, this is where my bags are going to stay or what? I didn't know exactly that where I was supposed to be living. And then I realized, well, that was where my home would be. And it was somewhat depressing, to be honest with you. 2 weeks into being here, I said, I can't do this. I called Oregon, and I had a chance to go back to University of Oregon. And I actually had gone to the airport to go back to Portland. And my bags went. And Bruce got me at the airport and said, give it a little more time, give it a little more time.
Wow.
And they shipped my bags and brought the bags back. And then I started hanging out with some of the guys. You know, there was Bob Nash, there was Mike Blackshire, there was Al Davis, there was a number of guys. And we started becoming a family. And then we started meeting people here. And the reception from the people in Hawaii, even before we played our first game, was something initially that you were like, okay, these people way too nice. Is this for real? And then when you realize it was genuine and sincere and real, then you became a part of a much larger family, and this whole state became our family.
And you have become a very important part of that family over the years in an increasing measure, already through the decades. Someone known, loved, and respected, admired. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, you know, you're a leader, and leaders lead. And sometimes as leaders lead, leaders experience certain yield signs on the road of success. I'm wondering if you've ever had some yield signs, perhaps even some stop signs. as you listen today, yield, stop. Hey, you know, those warnings can actually elevate you, even though sometimes you might think you're slowing down or going backwards. You yield. It could be a point of acceleration. Artie Wilson will share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It's really the deeper things, the soft stuff that are close to the heart. You know, the heart is soft. I mean, sometimes people's hearts over the course of life experiences, hey, let's face it, we can all get hardened, we can all get bitter, we can all get calloused. But sometimes when we go through certain things in life, it softens us. And when it softens us, it's really God that's softening our hearts. And sometimes in ways that we couldn't even imagine. We don't even know why, but the Lord supernaturally is doing work in our hearts. And hope comes as a result of that. Hope that we may have never known before. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Norman Nakanishi. Our featured guest today is Artie Wilson. And we're doing a special series called Leadership Moments. And indeed, this is one of those moments. In fact, as Artie shares, in a little while, Norman is going to share some leadership reflections, some insights. That I know will inspire you. It's almost like you're getting a double dose of blessing today as we share in this time. To find out more about our show, thegoodlifehawaii.com. To find out more and learn or connect with Artie Wilson, artiewilson.com.
Artie, interesting. Your grandmother was a missionary.
Yes.
Your mother was a missionary. You came from godly family. As far as you can remember, you grew up in church. But while you grew up in church, Christ really wasn't in your life until something happened that just came out of the blue. Talk to us about that.
Well, I grew up, in church. I mean, in Sunday school in the morning. I sang in the church choir.
You did?
I did. I probably didn't sing real well, but I sang in the choir. I went to church just about every Sunday. I sometimes fought going to church because NBA or baseball games were on at 11 o'clock and church started at 11. And our church, unlike Grace Bible, where it's an hour, hour and a half, our church was 2.5, 3 hours. I mean, we started church at 11 o'clock in Portland and it's 2 o'clock, 2:30, and church is still going on.
Huh.
So as a young boy, I was always trying to find a reason. I don't feel real good, and that didn't go over real well with the women in our house. It's like, get up and you're going to church. So as I grew up, I had a relationship with the Lord, but not a personal relationship. I would say a prayer, and I would mouth this or mouth that, and when we were getting ready to play games, we would say, okay, we need to pray and ask God to bless our team, and it was not a personal relationship, but I understood what that was, and I somewhat ran from it because I knew there were things I was doing in my life as a young guy that probably weren't the best things. So, I mean, it was hard enough to keep it from my mom and dad and my grandparents, but now I'm trying to keep it from God too. So I ran and did my thing kind of my way for quite some time.
The interesting thing is you literally brought June Jones to church.
Yes.
This is an all-black church. He's a 6'4" white guy.
Yeah.
He receives Jesus into his heart. Something you hadn't yet really done.
Right.
Ironic.
Yep. June came, and he was unique in the church. He sat in the row, and for me, June, growing up with June, after he accepted Christ, June and I were best buddies, but I kept things from June. I didn't want to be like, oh no, I don't want June to know about this. He will criticize me, or he'll give me that look, and I didn't need that look from him at that point in time. But June did come, and June's father was even very much in love with my church. I mean, June's dad would come to the church all the time. Yeah, but I grew up knowing that God should have been my center, but God wasn't, the center. I said before, I think in a couple of occasions, that I had the Lord around or along as a passenger. Oftentimes, and would call on him at certain times, but not to be the pilot. Mm-hmm. Now life has changed, and I'm the passenger. The Lord is the pilot, and I'm along in I'm riding coach, and sometimes I get upgraded.
What happened that caused the upgrade?
Well, there are things that happen in life that you have no control of. And, I had a wonderful family. My business was going real well. I had had, good success in real estate and had a nice career going in that regard. I have three beautiful young daughters and family life was going real well. And then all of a sudden, my personal crisis occurred and a divorce happened and the world came kind of crumbling down. And it was something I didn't foresee, and it just kind of happened. And unfortunately, I couldn't fix it, and I felt absolutely helpless at that point in time in my life. And, it impacted not only me emotionally and psychologically, but spiritually and financially. And just everything happened. And it seemed like, there was nothing going right. And that's when I met Pastor Norm, and through a referral, I think I brought June to church in Portland, and he turned me on to Pastor Norm here in Hawaii, and actually called me and called Norm and said, you need to touch base with Artie, because we had not known each other.
Take us further. You connected with Pastor Norm. With Coach Jones making that connection.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, I went out to Leeward Community College, and I had never been to Grace Bible at all. Maybe I had been there once or twice with Coach Jones. But I went out to the 7:30 service. I remember it pretty well. And I met Pastor Norm, and his wife was there. And there was such, and at that point I was an angry man. I was emotionally hurt. I was angry. I was confused. I was I was not in a good place. And when I went to church, I got a peace. And then when I talked with Pastor Norm's wife, Faye, there was such a calming effect of, and I don't even remember the stuff that she said to me, but it was the manner in which she spoke to me, the calming effect that I was able to leave church that morning, and I felt better. Still angry, still confused, still upset, but I was in a much better place following that hour and a half that I was there.
You come to church, you experience some kind of peace. I mean, your life is literally turned upside down, a complete upheaval.
Yes.
Someone today, Artie, they're facing some kind of an upheaval, a shock. A shock that, unbeknownst to them, is the beginning of an unraveling. And the world, their world as they know it, comes crashing down. You've experienced it with all the emotions that go along. How did you experience some semblance of order to a tumultuous moment that expands over the course of time?
Well, I think first you have to understand that when I first experienced my crisis, I chose to try and deal with it inwardly by myself initially, and only shared it with a couple of good friends. I didn't even go to my parents because I didn't want to worry them. So for the initial period, I was sharing, you know, my tough journey with people I didn't even know that well. Pastor Norm, I didn't know Norman really well. I mean, June was my buddy. We talked about things. I had a couple of other friends that we talked about things, but I didn't go to my mom, my dad. I didn't go to people that were the family because I didn't want them to worry. And then, you know, through conversation with Pastor Norm, there were things that he gave me to read and to look at. And then I started realizing that for the first time, maybe in my life, I was dealing with something that I couldn't fix. And I have always been, you know, a leader. I have always been, you know, you go in a room and you're given a problem, well, I would be one of the first guys to say, okay, this is what we need to do, this is how we need to do it. I mean, I've been that way my entire life. Mm-hmm. And in most instances, I've been able to come up with a solution or answer a problem or fix a bad situation. I had no fix here. And I was frustrated and I was angry. And then I realized after talking to Norm that, you know what? Now you need to release it and allow God to be your leader and direct you. And for the first time in your life, you need to sit back and you not try and control things, because I'm an A personality, total control freak. I want to be the one in control. And for the first time in my life, I was forced to show patience and resolve to not try and fix something, to allow myself not to be in total control. That was difficult. I'm a work in progress. It's still difficult.
But you give people hope when you say that. Many can relate. Not only of type A personalities, just people in general can relate to the heartache. There's a part in all of us, I think, Artie, that wants to, we're survivors. We want to survive. So we do what we can until we run out.
Yeah.
Reach the dead end in life. You might be listening today and you might be saying, wow, I didn't know that about Artie Wilson. I didn't know he went through all that. I mean, hey, he experienced his own dead end. You might be at a dead end, but Christ has made a difference in his life. That relationship that he has with Christ. When we come back from our break, we're going to go deeper. Hey, go further. Artie, can you share with us what difference Christ has made in your life? And then a word, an inspirational word from Norman Nakanishi. We're going to take a quick break right now when we come back. hey, this is what life is all about, isn't it? I mean, we don't mess around here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. We get to the very heart of the matter. This is not a prim and proper, highly polished thing. I mean, we hope to be excellent in what we do, of course. But life is too short. And there are matters that we go through that we all could use a boost from the Lord. And He's here with us, with you today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
You know, some people, when you look at them, hey, what about high-profile people? People of high visibility, high influence, you know, and there is a part that you don't know. And be careful not to mistakenly, I think that's what I need to make sure I don't mistakenly think things or judge things a certain way, because there's always more than what we realize. The deeper you get to know people, the more you appreciate them and where they're coming from, and because you find out what they've gone through. It's sort of endearing. You love them. Isn't it amazing when we share out of our hearts some even points of struggle or brokenness that it mm-hmm. it allows us to connect? Well, that's what we're all about here. We want to connect with you. Not just us, but we want Christ to connect with you and you to Christ. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host. Very special moment today with Norman Nakanishi and our featured guest, Artie Wilson. To find out more about our program, if you want to partner with us to take this program across the country and even other parts of the world through our media ministry, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. We've got the Good Life Hawaii Partnership Club. Check that out, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Artie Wilson, to find out more about him, his real estate, Artie Wilson and Associates, go to artiewilson.com.
Artie, I was listening to your On Point radio program this morning, every Friday, ESPN Radio. You coach the very respected NCAA Summer League. And I got to ask you, why do you do that?
Well, I still love basketball. I love the game of basketball. And I also like to share my experience and mentor young people. Mm-hmm. I think I've been blessed to know basketball well and to know the psyche of young men. And what I want to try and do is instill a certain work ethic and a certain want to in young guys to to be the best that they can be, whether it, and it starts in the athletic realm, but it'll transfer into their whole lives. And that's something that I think is real important. I find that to be very satisfying and rewarding. I mean, I can go to restaurants and I'll have a waitress or a waiter that'll say, "Oh, I went to your basketball camp years ago." Hmm. You know, and that's pretty special. And it's pretty amazing sometimes when there's some young girls that are now, you know, they're working at a fine restaurant somewhere or even at Zippy's, and they'll say, "Hey, I went to your basketball camp 20 years ago." That means a couple of things. One, I'm getting very old. and two, that I had a little influence in their lives that they recall enough to say, to acknowledge it.
You know, a lot of these guys, because I love watching the games when I get to go, mm-hmm. their lives are in crisis. And it's a different Artie Wilson today. And Artie Wilson now that lost any sense of center because of your crisis, mm-hmm. you're dealing with young men and their families in crisis. And there was one young man, the state basketball player of the year out of Punahou, named Cameron Steinhoff, who lost his life in a skateboarding accident. You were coaching him, mm-hmm. committed to his family, and out of your crisis, it seemed like the Lord called you early in the morning to answer.
Yeah, it was. Talk to us. It was one of those unbelievable moments when I got a phone call about 4:45 in the morning. And I answered, and I was thinking, who is calling me at this time? Now, this, I was in the midst of my own crisis, and this phone call came in, and the person on the other end said, "Artie, this is Kathy." I went, "Who?" She said, "Kathy." "Okay, who?" And she said, "Kathy, this is Cameron's mom, Kathy." And I went, "Oh, what's up? You know, I mean, here it's 4:45 in the morning." And she said, "There's been an accident with Cam. There's been an accident." I said, "Well, okay, well, what's happening? Tell me what's happening." She said, he's hurt." And I'm thinking he broke his leg, he broke his arm. We were just getting ready to start the summer league, and he's played for me for the last couple of years, and we had a real good relationship. And his parents, Sean and Kathy, are incredible supporters. And she said, "No, we're at the hospital. Can you come down?" And I just jumped out of bed and told my daughters, "Look, I'm running down to the hospital." Now, both of my young daughters knew Cameron because they had been supporting the basketball team, and they thought of him, and they were all at Punahou together. And my oldest daughter knew him as well, so my whole family knew him really well. So I rushed down to the hospital and got there, and the family was there. And then I found out that he had been in a skateboard accident, had fallen and hit his head, and they had him in surgery. Well, they rolled him out of surgery, and I'm standing there with a bunch of the family and friends who were down on the scene. And one of my clients was one of the physicians and called me over and said, "Doesn't look real good, because there's not much they can do, so much swelling." Mm. So then I went into Artie mode, so to speak, of, okay, I can't be emotional at this point. I've got to kind of organize and try and help the family as best I can. And somehow was able to kind of pull it together and help them go through probably one of the most difficult things that a family can go through, the loss of a young person mm-hmm. at 21 years of age or so. And it was like a 48-hour tough situation, really, really difficult.
It's interesting, then they say in a crisis, who you call is significant. It's the person they most respect, trust, and look to for a leadership moment.
It says a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I felt honored that Kathy called me, and then I felt honored that they asked me to do the eulogy for Cameron mm-hmm. and kind of help coordinate everything from visitations in the hospital to, I mean, pretty much everything. And it was similar to the time when Coach Jones got in his accident. You know, mm-hmm. I got down to the hospital at the same time that the EMS had brought him in, and got in the elevator with him going up to surgery, and honestly thought I was losing my best friend, because I saw his whole body cavity filling up as we were going up the elevator, and realizing that he was just being, his body was filling up with blood because he had such internal injuries. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I thought that was it. So it was another situation. And, you know, I've been blessed to be able to deal with those types of things and be there for friends and for family. And it's a God-given gift of blessing that he's put me in those situations and circumstances to serve people and others. And it's not been something I've run away from. And I actually, when I think about it, sometimes I go, man, I don't know how I did this one. Mm. But it's not me doing it, I know.
It's happening right now. Right now, as you speak, as you share, as you open up your heart, you're doing it. God is using you to touch another life.
You know, his mother, who was a godly woman, I've got a chance to talk to her, pray with her. She told me once, and I don't know, Artie, if you were there, she says, I've always wanted my son to be a minister. And I have watched this man, and we did a funeral together. How about that? And, of course, he spoke with me about 4 weeks ago in a suit. Danny, I think you were there.
I was there.
You know, I bought a new Kahala shirt just to dress up to Honolulu's best dressed man, according to Honolulu Magazine. The guy one-ups me with a suit. And I just thought, Mom probably said in heaven, now that is my boy.
Yeah,
out of your crisis, you have ministered Christ.
Well, my dad was my hero. My mom was my inspiration. Mm. She, you know, I keep thinking, I usually have on my radio show, a Mother's Day show, the Friday before Mother's Day. It's for women only. And in the past, my mom was always one of my guests. So this year, I'm sitting here thinking as I drove here today, wow, I got to have my Mother's Day show, but my mom won't be there. But you know what? She's there with me all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know the good Lord has given her a management position, because she's one that will take control of everything. I mean, before she passed away, she was praying for people who came to see her at the very end of her life.
Wow.
I mean, it's pretty incredible. They're driving down from Seattle, from all around the Northwest, to say hi to her, to see her. And she said, well, before you leave, let me pray for you now as you drive back to Seattle. And here she is at the end of her existence on earth.
Mom, continuing, even now, her life, her influence on you, how God uses that to distill wisdom in the lives of people. And we have with us Norman Nakanishi, man of insight. Hey, leadership moments. We're talking about that. We've got Artie Wilson
real,
here today.
Real easy, Danny.
Some insights, reflections.
Well, you know, it's basketball playoffs right now, and we have a basketball icon here in the studio.
Absolutely.
Turned businessman, media personality, and minister. It seems like a marketplace minister. You know, I was, I'm a Laker fan, and they and the Boston Celtics have the most NBA championships.
Mm-hmm.
But the Boston Celtics are an interesting story. They won, I believe, it was 11 or 13 championships in 17 years, Red Auerbach being the coach for most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And here is a white guy whose best player is a black guy named Bill Russell. But he had a system where he would require a form of discipleship. He would require the starting five to mentor the generation of players behind them, the next five. And the starting five hated it. I'm training the next guy to take my job and take my money.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow Auerbach got them to do it, partly because of a friendship with Bill Russell. And it was like the first generation passed the baton to the next generation. Therefore, when the Celtics played other teams, it was 5 against 10 because the Celtics reserves became very good because of the mentoring of the starters.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the careers were lengthened because their bodies were preserved because the backups could come in and spell them. And I thought to myself, you know what that was? That was discipleship by obligation.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah.
And that's how you have a multi-generational, not a leadership moment, but a leadership legacy, Danny, as you said earlier. And for you and I look at your parents to you, your grandparents to you, Artie Wilson. I look at you, Danny, your parents to you. My mother's the reason I'm here today in faith as well. And for us, we've got to take the baton, not just make it a leadership moment, but a leadership legacy. For Brett Auerbach and the Celtics, it was discipleship by obligation. Mm-hmm. For us, it's discipleship for the Great Commission. Leadership moment, Danny.
I love it. And I also love your humility. For a Laker fan to talk so endearingly, Artie, about the Celtics.
Well, just for a Laker fan to be talking right now is pretty cool.
You're right, right. All right. I hear rumblings in our among our listeners today. Hey, Artie, you have been a tremendous blessing. And as Pastor has shared that incredible insight, very poignant, a parting shot to someone who's hurting right now. What do you think the Lord would have you say to them? We got about 30 seconds left. What do you think?
Well, my mother always said to me, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? She said to me over and over again. I mean, I go to sleep, I hear that. So, you know, for me, it's make a difference in life. And it's not about money. It's not about fame and fortune. It's about being the best that you can possibly be and realizing that without Christ in your life, you pretty much are coming up short all the time. There's nothing from a real estate transaction to a game to a relationship to a marriage to whatever. If you don't have Christ in your life, you will come up short. And that's something that I understand now more than ever before. Mm. And for the next chapter in my life, I will live with that as my mantle. Christ has got to be first and foremost in my life.
Artie, that's powerful. And our dear friend, as you listen today, the Lord sends Artie Wilson to remind you of that ever, ever so important, ever so life-changing reality of Christ. Artie, thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
I hope today that you have been encouraged by the story, heart-to-heart sharing of Artie Wilson. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click the Get to Know Jesus tab. And you could also stand with us financially. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partnerships. Acts 14:17 says, He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Artie Wilson. Find out more at artiewilson.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Norman Nakanishi, and our technical producer, Jack Waters, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.